Hi, and welcome to Under Fire Radio. I'm Berserk.
And this is Shada.
This is our pilot episode. We aren't even on any network yet. This is pretty much to see what's going on at the radio show here and see if people like it, stuff like that. So make sure to give us your feedback at underfireradio@gmail.com. Just a quick intro to the site. This is pretty much just an underground site about whatever the hell we want to talk about. Freaking, social engineering, urban exploring, technology, whatever seems interesting this week. I want to start off, though, with kind of a sad note. I just want to say a rest in peace to Dimebag Darrell Abbott from Pantera and Damage Plan. He meant a lot to me as a guitar player, and as most of us know, he passed away on Wednesday, December 8th in a shooting. So to the Abbott and the Paul families and anybody related to Damage Plan or the situation, just my condolences. And now let's try to move on to something a little better. We've both been looking into a little bit of this thing called the Internet 2. I talked about it a little bit before, but Shada here actually went out of his way to learn a little something about it instead of just the scuttlebutt going around. So what have you figured out about the Internet 2, Shada?
Well, in my opinion, I hate it. But apparently 201 different universities think it's a good idea, as well as a bunch of big personal businesses and the government. The website, which is internet2, which is the number 2.edu, there's a lot of information about it on there. It's kind of hard to get around, though, so you're going to want to watch out for that. But I did find out something like if this does get implemented, basically what it is going to be, if you haven't heard anything about it, they are going to have some sort of identification so that it will be harder for people to, quote-unquote, steal your identity and some such online. So your anonymity will be reduced, I don't know, more than tenfold. You're most likely going to have to use, like, your social security number to sign on, among other little tidbits like your birthday and things like that. Other than, like, with the old days, just, like, you know, your username and password. Now you got to use your actual identity to do it. And therefore, that identity, and just with your name, your birthday, all of that stuff, is going to end up being stored in one library. So, you know, if you think about it, if somebody has the will and the capability to, they could easily get huge libraries of information on people. I mean, and this wouldn't just be one person. This would be hundreds of millions of people here. I mean, every single, what are they called? Every single internet provider is going to have one of these. So, I mean, come on, seriously. Let's say just some little local cable internet provider. Let's say they have, I don't know, 20,000 people, and every one of those has their social security number, their birthday, their address, their name, all the information stored in this library. And one person decided he wanted to go out and get it. Do you have any idea how much money he could sell that for, and how much trouble each and every one of those people could end up in? Yeah.
Well, not just including, I mean, you got to think, social security numbers are one thing, but for businesses, it's going to be tax ID numbers, it's going to be pertinent information to their financials. I mean, you can pull anybody's financials with that information. You could get a loan for them sent to you. It's just absolutely crazy.
Yeah. Plus, I mean, then if you're wanting, well, before this can even happen, though, I mean, seriously, there's got to have, like, a bill passed or something about it. Because this, first of all, this is, like, a huge, massive change. This is going to include every single person and every single internet company out there. So they're going to have, every company is going to have to get people to code this new these new programs for them, and there's no way that the government's going to pay for that, right? I mean, seriously.
I can guess the software that they're going to use is going to be supplied by none other than Microsoft.
Almost guaranteed.
And, yeah.
And that right there, I mean, Microsoft is known for leaving gaping holes open in their software, so...
No, they're just unknown features.
Oh, I'm sorry. But
yeah.
But anyway, seriously, come on. This is not a good idea. I mean, I don't... If this does happen, I don't foresee it for a long time, probably not even in my lifetime, which I still have a while. I'm only 19, but that's that one. So, but if it ever does happen, that's going to leave so many people just sitting there waiting to get to get themselves in trouble. But as I was saying, there's, since it's such a big change, there's going to have to be some sort of bill or something, like, put into Congress or whatever. I don't know how it goes. I'm not into the legal system. But with that comes all these big companies and government people saying, you know, this is a good idea. You know, this will make your privacy better. It's going to take you more time to do stuff, but you're going to be more secure. Blah, 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 blah. No, it's not. But the public most likely is going to believe it. I mean, look at... I can't think of any specific examples right now, but look at a lot of other things like that.
And well, think like with the... I think it's the Patriot Act, when they made it so, let's say you work for the cable company and you come in someone's house and you see something, you can turn them in and do stuff like that. You got pretty much, you know, civilian workers working kind of like agents for the government looking for stuff. And I guarantee the amount of houses that got raided by federal agencies went up, like, insane amounts after that went in. And Americans fully supported it. There was people who were like, well, you know, I don't like the idea, but almost everybody was, you know, the words I've heard a lot, and I'm really tired of hearing them, is that if I have to give up some of my rights or give up some of my privacy to make America safe, I'll do that. And I don't like hearing that. I mean, if you really want to make America safe, I've been noted saying this in a report, join the fucking army. You know, go do something about it. You know, don't just give up your rights. That's not going to make anything any safer. That's just going to make you less safe as a person and make your privacy not safe at all, if you even have any more privacy. I mean, something like this, you download the wrong song or something from somebody, you know, suddenly Metallica's lawyers got your social and you're sitting there with, you know, a bunch of fucking lawsuits from the RIAA, the MPAA, all them stupid bastards over there. I mean, I don't know, that's a whole other rant I don't even start it on, of course. But, I mean, people that are in America are giving up their privacy left and right, and they're doing it in the name of, you know, helping the country. And I don't really think it's helping anything. It's always good to be alert what's going on and, you know if there's a terrorist next door and things like that. But having the next-door neighbor's social security number attached to an IP address or something like that doesn't make anybody any safer, in my opinion.
Not in the least. If anything, it's going to make the entire system just fall on its knees one day. And
yeah.
Then, I mean, seriously, if look at our world today. It is run on the internet, right? And if that falls, so does everything else.
We've had all these years to make what is the internet now a lot safer. You know, in 91, 92, I mean, those are just kind of guessing there. But the amount of stuff that went on the internet, everybody thought it was pretty safe. They were sending stuff. There was kids sitting there picking up everybody's info. They're sitting there, I don't even know how it works. Hacking's not my thing. But they're sitting there, you know, I think it's packet sniffing, you know, getting everybody's information. And, you know, putting the packets back together, stuff like that. And they were pretty much, in my terms, hacking the internet. I mean, they had everything going through. If you can intercept all the data going through a big backbone, you've got the whole fucking world locked down, pretty much. And, of course, with the new system, there's going to be security problems and stuff like that's going to happen again. It's going to be the whole hacker fiasco of the early 90s all over again. And it's going to give the hackers out there that are good an even worse name, which it's hard to believe that hackers could get a worse name. guarantee it, if this goes into effect, it'll get even worse, because they won't just be people looking on computer systems. They'll be stealing your identity. They'll be doing all sorts of stuff, you know. People will be getting completely owned. People might just disappear, and then people taking over their lives. You never know. It could get crazy. As it is, if someone, you know, intercepts your Hotmail password, so fucking what? You know, it's crazy. So it would be like starting over all over again, or starting all over again. Yeah, well, all right, well, we've done a little bit of writing on that one.
All right, so you wanted to talk about urban exploring a little bit, didn't you?
One of the things I want to talk about on this show, just on regular urban exploring, I'm not going to go into too great detail about, you know, stuff right now, just basics of it. Basically, you know, people ask me, you know, what is urban exploring? It's just that. It's the exploration of an urban area. You know, you go, you find places you haven't seen before, maybe an old factory behind a fence. You've always kind of wondered what's there. So I had to go back there, you know, find out it's abandoned, go walk around it or something, you know. Could even just be as crazy as, or not crazy actually, as, you know, going through your city as a skywalk, if you have a skywalk, and just seeing where all the doors go and stuff. I found a lot of doors that just go onto a roof out of nowhere. It's like, whoa, I can go on the roof of this building now. And there's just a door chilling on some skywalk thing that no one knows what it's for. It's just some brown door with no stickers, no signs, nothing. And it's never locked. It's crazy what people will leave unlocked in a building. excuse me. Why we do it, a lot of people ask that, is just, we're explorers. That's exactly it. I mean, we want to find stuff out. We want to see what stuff is. There's things we haven't seen, and we want to see it. I absolutely love going to a new building and not knowing what's around the next corner. It's kind of exhilarating to me. I mean, I'm kind of lame, so I don't know if that's your thing, but I like to go in and have no idea what's coming up next, and you know, can only guess, and sometimes I'm surprised. I've walked into a room and seen something I never imagined seeing in that room. You know, I thought I was walking into a little office once, a little tiny office in the bottom of a factory, and I found a whole new assembly line, and I was up above it, like 20 feet. There was another whole basement that dropped down another 30, 40 feet, and it probably stretched on for a good 200 yards, and I thought I was going into an office. It was rather surprising, but it's just crazy like that. A lot of people ask what they need to go urban exploring. The big thing you need is a flashlight, maybe even two, you know, and that starts the good old-fashioned, what kind of flashlight should I use debate. You know, use whatever flashlight, make sure it's good, make sure it's bright enough to see your way. I suggest carrying another small one with you, just a pocket-sized one, something with double A's or triple A's, just as a backup. But, you can't go wrong with a maglite, so I'll just leave it at that. Maglite, they make a flashlight for everything you need. You can get a mini mag, you can get a maglite the size of a damn toothpick anymore. But, you know, you get a 2 or 3D size maglite and you're pretty well set. It's got a good flood. What are some good urban exploring resources? I've been asked that a few times. Found too many websites about it, but what I have found have been pretty good. Some of them haven't. UER.ca, it's a Canadian site. That's really good. It's an urban exploring resource, if I remember right. They have a forum on there, and they're very strict about getting on the forum. You have to actually be somewhat active in the community, and you can't be stupid. It's like a retard-free forum, which you really can't beat that. They got a great resource for finding places in your area, not just in Canada, all over the world. I mean, you got explorers from Iraq in there, Afghanistan, all sorts of places. I found a lot of stuff about my state, which is, you know, not too big on technology and things like that, so I didn't think there'd be anybody on there. But I found a lot of good resources, and I've already met some cool explorers and stuff from the area. So that's really cool. If you're in the Midwest, in the Midwestern U.S., I actually got something I just started up with some forums. It's called Midwest Explorers. It's at midwestexplorer.tk. So go ahead and check that out. And then there's a lot of blogs and stuff out there I've seen. I got a personal blog, which you can get a link to on the Midwest Explorer site, so go ahead and check that out. Also, there's a radio program that's just been started by White Sword, and that's over on Kizzle's site at Hacker Media, hackermedia.net. So go ahead and check that out, and check out White Sword TV at whitesword.tk. White Sword's really big in the urban exploring area, and I got a lot of respect. respect for the guy. He's got some really cool stuff to explore out there in Portland where he's at, and he gets some big paper. So go out there and, you know, check out White Sword and check out UER and all those places. So, Shetta, you were going to talk a little bit about your little thing, which is social engineering, huh?
Just a little bit, yep. I decided instead of just, you know, ranting a little bit on what it is, I figured I'd just give a little something that I thought was kind of cool, that with your help I worked out those bugs from a couple of weeks ago. I believe I posted on this on the BinRev forums a couple weeks ago as well. First of all, it's about getting free stuff. And, you know, you can't go wrong with free stuff, whatever that is. Basically, this works with chain stores best. What you're going to want to do is call and talk to the manager. And you're going to be like, hey, I'm so-and-so from corporate, and we're instituting a recall. And but this won't be a typical recall. Instead of just you throwing it out in the dumpster, we're going to send a courier to go and retrieve the items. So what happens? You tell them the item. You'll probably want to get, like, the UPC number or something like that, some little identifying piece of information to make you sound official. By the way, you'll probably want to know where their corporate office is. Like, if it was Blockbuster, you'd call up and be like, hey, this is, I don't know, Ted Dunson from corporate here in Dallas, blah, 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 blah. We're doing a recall on so-and-so movie because of content. So, then you're just going to say, we're going to send this courier service, I don't know, like Acme Couriers, out to pick it up. Just put it in an envelope, and he'll be out there tomorrow to pick it up. So then what you're going to want to do is go to, like, I don't know, a t-shirt printing shop or something. Get one of those, just a polo shirt, you know, a collared shirt, just a real simple one. Just get one of those made with whatever company logo you want on it. You could make your own. You could use one that's already out there, whatever. And just go and be like, hey, I'm from this courier service. I'm here to pick something up. And I'll be like, okay, here you go. Have them sign for it. If you wanted, you could get a little information. You could get, like, the store number, their employee ID number, their name, all that stuff. Just little bits and pieces of information that you could use later on. Just have them sign for it, then leave, and boom, free stuff. But by the way, I'm not telling you to do this, because this is bad.
Definitely not. Yeah, we're not going to take responsibility. You can't be like, well, I heard Berserk and Shade to talk about it, so I figured I could. Now we got nothing to do with your problems.
I want.
All right, so does that pretty much wrap it up for your social engineering?
Yep.
All right. Well, another subject we're going to be talking about on the show is going to be freaking. I'm a little bit as a freak. I'm just a newbie, though. Trust me, I don't know nothing. But let's just get with the basics. You know, what is freaking? It's been called hacking the phone. A lot of freaks get mad when they hear that. Personally, I found it to be one of the easiest explanations. If you really know what hacking means, I mean, I'm not taking over the phone network and stealing people's information all the time. It comes down to me learning stuff about the phone, learning to do things with it that you're not supposed to be able to do, not necessarily going out and, you know, getting free calls and things like that, but just making it do a thing or two that it wasn't really designed for. Which the phone can do a lot of things it doesn't know it can do. It's really an amazing thing. So what it really comes down to, I think, is just an education of the phone system in general, telecommunications, and learning everything about it, and learning how to use it, learning how to not use it, things like that. I hear, why do you freak? People ask me that all the time. Comes down to the information thing. I absolutely love the phone system, telecommunications in general. I want to learn everything I can about it. The system in general, the idea of the phone system is just absolutely amazing. It's like the world's biggest network that pretty much never goes down. You can pick up your phone and dial a number and be talking to somebody anywhere in the world where they have phones. And it's just amazing. It's been around for so long. I mean, the internet, that's great and all, but the phone's been around since the 1800s. And it's only gone down a few times and only in certain areas. There's never been a global, like, time where the phone went down everywhere. It's never happened. It's just absolutely amazing. And you can use technologies from the, you know, the 30s along with technologies from the 2000s, and they'll still work together generally. I mean, the amount of compatibility that it has is amazing, the reverse compatibility. It's just, the whole thing is just amazing. I could go on for days, so I'm just going to move on. One thing that really irks us freakers is when someone says, well, isn't freaking dead? Boy, I hate hearing that. I've learned to quit snapping on people about it, but freaking's not dead. Until you take the whole phone system away, the freaking's not going to be dead. Just because the red box isn't usable in those places and the blue box isn't usable in most places doesn't mean we can't freak. Freaking's not just about getting free phone calls and stacking trunks and things like that. It's about the phone. And as long as we have phones, we'll be freaking. And if they took away phones, we'd be sitting around talking about freaking, probably. But the phones aren't ever going to go away, in my opinion. Even if, you know, the phone system as we know it goes away, there will be communications. I mean, freaks will probably get into radios and things like that, and whatever we'll use for communication in the future. Which actually brings up a topic that I kind of like to ask everybody about, so I'm going to ask you about this. People are talking about the future of the public switch telephone network, or the plain old telephone system, and you know where it's going with all these voice over IP suppliers coming in, undercutting, you know, the prices of a copper line phone or fiber line phone and making it so much cheaper, and, you know, you got unlimited long distance through voice over IP to any country instead of just, you know, 38 states or something like that, like with, you know, MCI's neighborhood or whatever the hell it is. All the cell phones. So if people think that the public switch telephone network is going to just disappear, and I don't really think it is, but I mean, do you see it going anywhere anytime soon, Shada?
To be honest, no. The system is way too big to just take it all down in one day. Too many wires, too many switches, everything. That's way too big to do.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's what I've heard a lot from people. That and I heard from, I believe his name was Minion. He said that, you know, what happens if we have a big war and everything gets blown up and stuff all knocked over? Do you think cell phones are going to work? Or, you know, do you think voice over IP is going to work? The public switch telephone network has so many backups and so much stuff to back it up that it's not going to ever quit working. It might work, quit working in a certain area, but there's still going to be a phone. And it's, you know, the basis of communications. You know, I mean, the only thing that goes back farther than that, I can think, is telegrams, which work pretty much like a phone. Just, you know, I guess they don't really work like a phone, but they work over wires and they can go long distances like that. As long as there's copper wire hooking the stuff together, we'll figure out how to use it, trust me. That's when the freaks will come in handy. If there's a big war and they need to figure out how to make the phone work when it's not supposed to, we'll probably be in there saving the world. Suddenly we'll not be the bad guy anymore. So I don't think we really are the bad guy. I got a little technology news article I picked up yesterday, reading on FARC. I don't know if y'all check out FARC, but it's awesome. FARC.com. They got all sorts of wacky news articles and things like that. But I guess at the University of Alberta in Canada, there's researchers that are working on technology that may lead to a cell phone battery, and it only needs to be charged one time per year. That's just insane. I mean, my cell phone, if I don't talk on it for a week, like, at all, ever, no matter what, it'll last maybe 5 days. And a year, I wouldn't even know what to do with myself with a cell phone battery that lasts a year. That's a lot of snake playing. You know, I would have, you know, all my games playing, I'd be doing all sorts of stuff. But I guess the way it works is, let me see what I've got here. The phones use a digital chip right now that they send signals back and forth to check for errors in the system and things like that. And it's constantly checking for errors, and that's what's taking up a lot of your batteries. It's always sending and receiving stuff, no matter what, even if you're not using it. And they found a way to use an analog system that uses 100 times less energy to operate than the digital ones. I guess this uses it by using very, very small bits of electricity in the phone and very, very small amounts of voltage to do it. You know, the very variations. Let me see. I got it in front of me, and I'm not reading it, which I should be. It turns the transistors on and off, and that process eases up the power instead of leaving the transistors running all the time, I guess. So it pretty much just saves the energy better. It's a rather simple idea, but I'm sure the circuitry is very, very hard to do. And they're coming up with it at the University of Alberta. A lot of people don't realize a lot of telephone stuff is made in Canada. A lot of people think, you know, well, what's Canada worth? Canada makes a lot of really important stuff for our technology. If you're on a dial-up modem right now, streaming this, I'll bet $100 if you look on that modem, there's a sticker with a Canadian maple leaf on it. Pretty much every modem I've ever seen in my life was made in Canada. It might be Chinese parts or something like that, but it comes down to being a Canadian company and Canadian technology. And, you know, it's redone by Americans, of course, because Americans like to buy American. So, yeah, I mean, they're doing really good stuff up there, and hopefully it'll make it down here. I don't really want to have Canadians bragging to me online all the time that they haven't charged their phone in 8 months and they got a few months left while I'm waiting for my phone to finish charging so I can go out to the bar. So I think that's a really good thing. When I find out anything more about it, I'll make sure to definitely update people and stuff like that. Well, I think we're getting our way done here, actually. Time to maybe give our shouts. You got some shouts for today.
Sure enough. First of all, I'd like to shout out to you for, you know, inviting me to be on the show here. Can't go wrong with that.
Yeah, rock on.
Then also out to Vulcanius. He's been a big help lately. If you know him, you are one of the lucky few. If not, haha. Also to Risk Free. He's also very knowledgeable, and he helps me with a lot of stuff. Also, like, shout out to the rest of the NNC.
You guys all know who you are.
Yeah. Let's see who else. BinRev Radio, if you've never listened to that, you have to check it out. Go to binrev.com. That's BINREV.com. They've got Hack TV on there, which is also very good. Then you've got The Radio Show, which is a weekly one at 9 o'clock Eastern Time on Tuesdays, I believe. It's also got some very good forums over there with some very knowledgeable people. Who else? Kizzle over at hackermedia.net. Good idea there, buddy.
Definitely.
And I think most of all, right now we are owing the show to Obfuscated, because we originally recorded this show on one of those sucky little suction cup phone recording things.
Oh, those things suck.
Let me just tell you, that was absolutely horrid. So I took Obfuscated's idea and went out and bought a Radio Shack wireless phone recording controller for $24.99. If you're interested in making a radio show, I recommend this. You can use it for cell phones or cordless phones that have a headset jack on it. And the idiots at Rat Shack probably won't know what they're looking for. So, the item number is 17-855, just so you know.
They always freak out when you bring up an item number, don't they? They're like,
well,
what?
I was actually really surprised last night when I went and bought it. I showed the lady the number, and she's like, oh, that's the wireless phone recording controller. I know exactly where that is. And I've
There's
never had that
happen.
There's
a bunch of people in your town making prank calls.
I've never heard anybody there actually know what they're talking about, so... This was nice for once. But, alright,
yeah,
I'm done with my
show. That happened here.
What was that?
Alright, well, I actually was going to start mine off with Obfuscated also, because if it weren't for him, you would be hearing absolute crap right now. We recorded another show, and I couldn't even hear myself. It sounded like I was talking into a tin can, and there was like a recorder way down the hallway or some sort of weird shit. So Obfuscated made it possible. Him and Droops both, they're at Infonomicon Radio. If you haven't listened to Infonomicon, you're really missing out. It's the news you need. I believe it's the news you need, like it or not. That's at Infonomicon.org. They come out with a weekly episode every Tuesday, I believe. And it's always just good, always a good time. I make sure to listen religiously. Sometimes I forget for a day or two, but that's why it's there to download. Make sure you check out Infonomicon Radio, especially since radio is a lot better than ours. I also want to thank whitelight.tk. Most likely they're going to be hosting this and putting it on their radio. So if things all work out, I got to, you know, thank them. I've been posting on their forums for a while. I believe they actually made me a moderator, too, so that's pretty cool. It's white-light.tk or white-light, however you want to say it. Also, my buddies over at shellcentral.net, they supply me with hosting for my own site, and they do an awesome job. I've never had any problems with them, really. Very high speed. They can supply you with anything, shells, IRCs, BNCs, web hosting, SQL, PHP. If they can host it, or if it can be hosted, they can do it, and they'll do it damn cheap for you. There's a big shout coming out here to my boy Bagel. This would be Private First Class Bagel with the Army Rangers. He's over doing his thing in Iraq right now, and I got a lot of respect for that, especially since going into the Army and being a Ranger, which is Special Operations for people you don't know. They're the badasses. Being a Ranger, he could have gave up on the freaking scene. That's what he's into, the freak and the hack and all that, and he never did. It never killed his spirit at all. All it did was make him want to learn more. He's up in Iraq right now doing urban exploring and learning about the phone systems that are being used over there and, you know, getting us the inside info. I probably shouldn't say that. He might get busted. Didn't want that to happen. So, yeah, Bagel, you know, next year whenever when you're back and you hear all these old episodes, there's a shout to you, bro. Also, Vulcanius, because he helps me out on the daily with, like, everything. I couldn't get half the stuff done that I do without him. And to White Sword, at White Sword TV, he does great stuff with urban exploring. So that's absolutely awesome. Check out whitesword.tk. And, of course, to my crew, the NNC crew, which me and Shane are both luckily members of. You all know who you are. If you don't, then, you're not in the crew anymore. Pretty much, that's about it. I'd like to thank you for listening to Under Fire Radio. Hopefully we're going to have some other people on, some guests, things like that. We really want to get an email section started, so I don't care what you got to email. If you send us an email that says, like, my dog just farted, I'll probably read it on the air. If you want to get some shout-outs, you want to do anything with the show, just email us. It's at underfireradio@gmail.com. And both me and Jada and, or, yeah, me and Jada, thinking of some third imaginary person or something, but both of us will be checking that, and we'll get back to you. If you want to send something to us just personally, my email is bizurke@gmail.com. That's B-I-Z-U-R-K-E. And what is your Shada?
Mine is shadacb04@gmail.com. That's shadacb04@gmail.com. Send me whatever you like, as long as it's not spam, because, you know,
yeah.
I have a specific email for that, so if you want that, ask for that, and I'll give it to you.
Yeah. We're both pretty much media whores, so we'll probably respond to your email pretty quickly. So, yeah. Oh, that reminds me of something. I got on Gmail today, for all you Gmail users. If you're not, I feel sorry for you. Gmail added RSS feeds to your inbox, and I don't know about you, I use Firefox, and I add a lot of my cool links and my bookmarks onto the toolbar folder. So it's right there. So I can just click on it, and it lets me know if I got any new mail and things like that. It works kind of like the little pop-up thing that tells you if you got new mail, but it's not as annoying. Because you can just click on it. Like, I got two new Gmails since we started the show, and it tells me the subject and the first line of what's going on there. So that's totally awesome. If you got Gmail, make sure to check that out. If you use Firefox, the RSS button will be in the bottom right, and I think you'll like it. I do believe you have to use the stay logged in for 2 weeks feature, which there's been some stuff going around about that, saying that you can hack Gmail with that, but to my understanding, they patched that up within like an hour or two of it happening, so I think that's a bunch of crap. I actually trust in Gmail a lot more than I should, probably, because, man, I love Gmail. I absolutely love it. If you don't have it, you're really missing out. Go look around online. You'll find some invites for it, or I got a couple invites left. Email me, I'll send you an invite. If you already have it.
I have like four on one account, and I think the whole six on another, so email me, I got a bunch of them.
Yeah, I did have like 20 of them, but I've been using them up, actually, because people have been giving in and been like, well, give me Gmail, and next thing I know, they're like, whoa, this is awesome.
This services.
If any of y'all don't know, Gmail is Google's email service. It's not even out yet officially. You have to be invited to it. It's under beta. But you get a gig of space, so you can archive everything. There's an archive. You don't have to delete anything. In fact, you have to go through a certain process to delete it. And what's nice about that is you archive it, and you have your own Google search for your mail. So you can type in like any word that's in the mail and bring up a list of the mails and find it. So it's really easy to find all your mail and stuff like that. And that, one thing that I like the most is the way the conversations go in it. It makes it look almost kind of like an IM or something, or a message board when you're IM or when you're emailing someone back and forth. And there's collapsible conversation windows. It's absolutely great. It's the way email should have been. You know, like all, or I guess not email, the way webmail should have been. It's something that Yahoo can only wish that they had. You know, I found out that Yahoo is putting Gmail, like Gmail invites into the bulk folder too.
I heard about that when Gmail first came out, that they were doing that.
Because I invited a bunch of people, and they're like, I didn't get it. I'm like, check your bulk mail folder, and it's right there on top. Which, I mean, I can understand them not wanting people to go to Gmail, but still, you know, you got to have some respect, too. I mean,
yeah.
For how many years did Yahoo use Google for its search? Like 4 or 5 years, I think.
I thought they were still using it, don't they? Or did they?
I think they got some, like, Korean company or some crap now. I don't use Yahoo. I don't like Yahoo.
Me neither. To be honest, I absolutely love Google's simplicity. Like, Yahoo's got, like, much happening on their front page, and Google's got one search bar and, like, two buttons, you know?
Compare their load times. I mean, honestly, even with, you know, if you got 56K or you got cable, either which one, you're going to have a way faster load time with Google, and you're going to get way better results.
Yeah, and plus, just a book recommendation, check out the book Google Hacking. It's part of the O'Reilly Collection thing.
Really?
Yeah, it is absolutely great. And it's basically, it's going to enhance your searching, like, more than you know. I haven't even gotten through the entire book yet, and it's great. I mean, I've had it, I don't know, forever, but I just really recommend it.
The
format is like, they've got Google Hack number 1, 2, 3. They've got, I don't remember how many there are, but there are a bunch of them. And just all sorts of little search tips and everything. It's great. Read it. If not...
You know, I heard around, I don't know if you know who Will Wheaton is. He's the one who played Wesley Crusher on Star Trek The Next Generation. He's really big at blogging. He's got a really, really famous blog at willwheaton.net. But I guess O'Reilly approached him recently to write a book about blogging. So O'Reilly's going to be coming out with a manual for blogging from Will Wheaton. And he's actually a good author. He's written 2 or 3 books now. He just came out with another one. And I haven't got to read them yet, but to my understanding, they're just phenomenal old books. So yeah, check out willwheaton.net and see what's going on with that. But other than that, I think that pretty much does it for the show.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, so, I'm Berserk.
This is Shada.
And this is Under Fire Radio. We'll see you next week.
See you later.